Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in. Football Friday here. We are live in downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. Busy hour coming up. We'll run down some numbers from recent years. Championship weekend. We'll get you our best bets in pocket and plays. And right now, a full half an hour with professional sports bettor and the winner of this year's Friday Football Invitational here at Circa. Chris Massaro, man. Congratulations, pal. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much, Mitch. It was a fun run the last couple months. I just got on a little bit of a heater on that contest. I never had, you pick seven games a week. I never had an 0-7. I never had a 1-6. I think I had 1-2-5, but it was mostly consistently going 4-3, 5-2, 6-1, 4-3, 5-2, 6-1. And at the end, it got the job done. It was a tough list of competitors. I remember when Human sent the first initial email out, I'm like, wow, there's some really big heavy hitters in this contest, a lot of Vegas legends. So to be able to win the contest, a little bit of a feather in my cap. But, it's only what you've done for me lately. So we'll see how it goes, and hopefully we can get a couple more winners this weekend.
Okay. So you called me the resident Patriots hater here during the break. I did send out a tweet after the Chargers game saying I can't wait for this team to get their ass kicked by a real team, actually. I don't think they're going to have to play a real team till the Super Bowl is a problem. Now, that aside, I was also this week begging for one person, my God, to make the case that it might not go well for Jared Stidham and this love affair with the Broncos and this guy as a backup quarterback has to end. Like, can somebody please make the case for the Patriots? We finally got that a little bit yesterday. We got it a little bit more earlier today. I'm guessing that you think this is going to be, a route?
I'm not saying it's going to be a route. Let's just take a step back. We have the schedule talk, okay? Obviously, they had the weakest schedule in the league based on the numbers. But guess who had the second weakest schedule? Denver.
Can't deny it, no.
Can't deny that. But the product of the schedule is just, it's basically who's in your division, okay? So everyone's pumping up the tires of the Rams that they have the greatest schedule when it came to the MVP debate versus May and Stafford. If you just flip-flop in the Rams schedule, if you take the Niners out of the Rams schedule and send them over to the Patriots schedule, and you take the Jets out of the Patriots schedule and send them over to the Rams. Now let's assume the Rams beat the Jets twice like the Patriots did, and the Patriots split with San Francisco. If you do the schedules after that with all the records and then count the two playoff games, the Patriots schedule is stronger than the Rams. It's only one team. It's just it's a little bit exaggerated. And to say that the Chargers are not a real team, everyone was talking about how great the Chargers were. They were top five in defense. They have Herbert as the quarterback. They're going to go into Foxborough. They're going to have the running game going. They're going to be able to sack May a bunch of times. And then Houston, they were on a 10 or 11 game win streak. They come into Foxborough. It's not like the Patriots are just eking by. And I'll admit Drake May hasn't played great in the playoffs, but it's not like they're eking by. They're the only team that's covered in won and covered two games in the playoffs. No one else has done that. So we'll see what happens. I'm a little bit optimistic about the Patriots. And I'll tell you why. I don't think it comes down to, as we were just talking before the segment started, I don't think it comes down to Bo Nix or Stidham. And, the Stidham talk has gotten a little out of control.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought he might be, second for MVP, Stidham, the way they've been talking about him this week. I've never heard anything like this. And it's been on every show, every station, the ESPNs, you guys. I just think it's nuts. But I don't think it comes down to that. I think it comes down to the defense. And Denver's defense, if you take out, I heard Adam before me mention it, they played Kansas City without Mahomes, and they played the Chargers without Herbert when they weren't trying, when they had Trey Lance in there. Mm-hmm. Take those two games out. The last three games, Green Bay, Jacksonville, Buffalo, they gave up 5.9 yards of play against Green Bay, 5.5 yards of play against Jacksonville, and 5.8 yards of play against Buffalo. That would rank them 26th in the NFL. This defense is not what everyone says it is. A lot of that defensive stuff is cracked up from earlier in the season playing weaker opponents. It is not a good defense. And if you watch the first drive last week, James Cook was, you could have drive us, a semi-truck through these holes. And I think the Patriots' ground game is going to be fine. The key to the game is Drake May protecting the ball, because the pass rush is going to come. And we all know the Patriots don't have a good offensive line. It's going to be a problem. But he cannot leave that ball hanging out there. They also need to help Will Campbell. They got to either chip with a running back or a tight end because he is just not, I mean, short arms aside, it's, you know, he's still a rookie left tackle, and he's had, you know, 3 weeks in a row, dominant edge rushers on his side coming at him. I mean, Danielle Hunter last week, Will Anderson, they're flip-flopping on him. You know, he was spinning like a top, so they're going to have to help him out. But if Drake May can protect the ball, I think the Patriots are going to score 27, 28 points like they've done all year. 28.1 they've averaged. Number one in the NFL, tied for yards per play at 6. The average margin of victory in their wins is 13.3. I could see this game getting away because I don't see a path with Denver being able to run the ball because they don't like to run it anyways versus the Patriots' run defense. What are they going to do? They're going to let Stidham throw it 60 times, 50 times? They threw it 46 times last week, which was insane against Buffalo's defense. I just don't see that as a recipe for success, and I would expect a couple interceptions if that's going to be the case.
Well, one thing that certainly helps them out every single week is they're well-coached, and they have the lead at halftime. How about this ATS machine with what they're doing, 16-0-1 run, money line first half?
It's unbelievable. What is it, 17-1, 17 or 16-1-1 against the spread on the money line, and that with the spread, excuse me, it's, 14-2-2 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
it's just
like
been
that.
Unbelievable. Even, I mean, the Charger game, was we got a little lucky on that one.
That was lucky. 16-3, I think.
But
ATS,
I heard you mentioned, DraftKings was 1.5. But, I mean, you just lay the money line. They are well prepared. They start fast. And it's just been working. I don't see any reason to change, right?
Boston guy, are you concerned it's been a house of horrors and leaving Saturday night?
The Saturday night thing, I went back and forth. I talked to you yesterday. I knew a friend of mine who's out in Colorado a lot. He says, you know, when you're exerting the energy early, it's not that day that it really affects you. It's like the next day. So hopefully they get out and they'll have time to rest for the Super Bowl. Vrabel said you wouldn't be able to get acclimated, until if you can't, you'd have to come out 10 days or 8 days ahead of time to be acclimated. So as for House of Horrors, yes. I remember as a kid, 1987, I believe, we had Mosey Tatupu around the edge. He fumbled. 0-4, even Brady couldn't win there in the playoffs. You know, some really memorable games. Coincidentally, 10 years ago, they played there for the AFC Championship game. It was one of Brady's greatest games. Some people say he might have been concussed. They were just unbelievable comeback, and the catch to Gronk, and then, you know, Gostkowski missed the extra point early, so they had to go for two and didn't get it. So that was the noodle arm Peyton Manning year.
That was the game that the front for the Broncos was in Brady's face the entire time.
He took the biggest beating of his career, I think, in that game. Maybe you could say the Giants Super Bowl game or the last game of the season versus the Giants in 07 year. That's the method. Pressure up the middle has always killed the Patriots. So it's a little bit of a house of horrors, but you know, none of these guys are involved in that rivalry, so it's just a whole new slate.
Well, you were buying in early, and here's a couple tickets to prove it. This was after the Sunday night game when they went to Buffalo and won. Here's a couple of your future tickets that you made on the Patriots. Walk us through what you were thinking, why you jumped in. Now, they were as high as 80-1, but you have 60-1 Super Bowl and 23-1 to win the AFC.
Yeah, well, what happened was, and that day, I remember it was still, baseball season. You guys were sitting out front. I was doing Stormy and JVT show, and I always want to come on with something, something new or something different. I don't want to give out a favorite. So I came down, and Circa had 13-1 for the division, and Drake May 95-1 for MVP. So that was the day I made those bets. At that point, I wasn't really sure if, the team was going to be good enough, to actually make this type of a deep run. But after they beat Buffalo that game, then you start looking at the schedule, and you say, wow, look at these numbers. So I went around town at Westgate. I have 60-1. For the Super Bowl, and at Caesars, I had 23-1 for AFC. So I'm in a great spot. I tried to get cued a couple times, leading up to it with taking the points with Chargers and Houston. That didn't work out, so kind of gave a little bit of it away. But I'm in a really strong position. I had the Miami ticket as well at 100-1, which I got the day before the selection show at Circa. So I was able to manipulate with some parlays with Indiana to win it. And, taking some stuff with, Indiana Monday night with, I have Broncos up to 7.5, Broncos 5.5, Broncos plus 6. So I'm hoping for a middle. Hopefully the Patriots can get the job done by.
Tied in with Indiana?
Yeah, tied in with Indiana, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
By the way, thank you. You're the one who put me on Drake May MVP.
Yeah, so I had some guy, tweet me on Twitter yesterday, tell me he was a new follower. So, hey, you're getting some attention here. You said you're a new follower, but he wanted to know why I had Drake May in my bio. And I had it all written out. I was gonna say, you know, say something, and I decided to just save it. I didn't need to get upset, but Mitch, we can monetize.
Yes, for sure. That's right.
So every time Stafford became plus money, you know, we took a little piece. I took a little bigger piece. I actually bet three guys for MVP this year. I had Baker Mayfield early, which was obviously a no-go. I had Drake May next, and then Stafford was 12-1. I think probably like the beginning of November, I want to say, or maybe the end of October. I have him at 12-1. I took more when May became the favorite a couple weeks ago. So I'm in a good spot. Obviously, I win more money if Drake May wins, but if Stafford wins, which he's probably going to win based on Kelce and whatnot, I'm still going to make out great.
Yeah.
I think one thing, though, is that one got by me. The May, I didn't see it. Like, I didn't put two and two together. And so when you pay attention to this stuff on a daily basis and you're, like, looking for divisions and you're looking for conference numbers and the MVP stuff, like, I love betting futures.
Well, that's a great point. You had 13-1 division.
Yeah.
Remember the Buffalo hype, and then Buffalo got off to a hot start. They were like 2,500 to win the division.
That was one you never even had to hedge. It was just you never had to hedge. You could maybe have taken Buffalo when they were two games down, when they were playing the Patriots, and they did beat them. But the tiebreakers, because the Patriots had a better division record because the Buffalo Bills lost to Miami that time. So you have to look ahead. Like you were talking about on your Pod to the Future thing about looking for the college basketball teams that can make a run, or you want to get the numbers at a great number. I came on with Dustin last week and I told everyone Florida, if they beat Vanderbilt on Saturday, that 27 or 32-1 is going to be long gone, and now they're 14-1.
Good call. Yep. We'll continue. Professional sports better. Chris Massaro up next. We'll get his thoughts on the NFC title game, how he is betting Rams Seahawks coming up.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. Thanks for checking in here on a Football Friday. We are live in downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard. We'll get the in-pocket plays coming up in about a half an hour. And we continue here with professional sports bettor Chris Massaro, really making your case for the Patriots in that first segment. Let me ask you this. Did you add any last Sunday before they played the Texans, when you knew that Knicks was out and that it was going to be Jared Stidham, and if the Patriots beat Houston as a 3-point favorite, they were still plus money to win the AFC last week?
No, I would have, but I was actually thinking maybe I should take some Houston because I had the big future tickets. I'm like, wow, what would Houston be to make the Super Bowl? And I was thinking about doing some, because it's great when you have futures, and your buddy there and I became friends with him this year, Chris from Missouri there.
Yeah.
We talk about a bunch about futures and how some people are like, oh, you should never hedge. But I do a lot of my future betting because I want to hedge. I want to just somehow monetize the ticket and make a profit. And with futures like that, and when it gets down to the final four, you can do the exactas, you can do the exact result, that stuff is huge. And it might not be the greatest value late, but when you already have a ticket, I was looking at, wow, maybe I should bet Seattle or the Rams to beat Houston in the Super Bowl, as just a different type of hedge. I ended up not doing anything, and I was a little nervous as the game. I mean, I had a couple tickets, but they were in before Knicks was hurt. But I didn't jump on more on New England. Okay. I just didn't do that.
Fair enough. Okay, so then how are you looking at the other game, the late game on Sunday, NFC title game? Seahawks a 2.5-point favorite at home against the Rams.
Well, another bet that I think we both have, I think yours is a little different. And I saw Jason sent me a screenshot of that bet I think you guys are teaming up on. I also have the Rams at 17-1 for NFC.
NFC?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So that was a bet I made. I think you might have been with me. We were at the Wynn watching college basketball, and I heard the rumor that Davante Adams was going to come to the Rams. And I heard somebody, a guest was on the talking about, oh, I kept betting the Rams.
David Baker.
Oh, David Baker for NFC. I wish I would just kept betting it. I have a decent sized bet, so it's a good position for me. I did take a little bit in a future parlay 2 weeks ago for Seattle to win the NFC because I didn't have anything on Seattle. I had the Rams, I had the Bears at 25-1. So I'm in a good spot. I do like the Rams in this game. Both of the games played this year have been decided by 2 points or less, one by 2 points, one by 1 point. So the win had 3 -120 the other day. So I did bet the Rams, not a huge bet because I already have the Rams to win. But I think if this game, it comes down to it, I think these are probably the two best teams in the NFC, if not the NFL. I feel like it's going to be a field goal game. And I think 3 is pretty good value, even though you get to lay a little bit extra juice. You can't go past Sam Darnold. I mean, 6 interceptions versus the Rams this year. Yep. Going back to the playoff game last year, another interception. He was only 25-40, I believe, in that game, or 20-35. He was, very inaccurate. And you gotta feel that the Rams know they can move the ball. That game 5 weeks ago, 581 yards of offense, 6.6 yards of play. I don't think they're afraid of the Seattle defense. Hopefully they, they didn't even have Devontae Adams in that game. So I'm on the Rams. I know that a lot of people like the under. I saw the move to the under today. Maybe the quarterbacks are hurt.
You think Stafford's hurt? He hasn't looked the same.
And, although last week it was brutal conditions and the cold. It's not going to be that bad in Seattle. It's supposed to be like 45 degrees. So they have a full complement of their offense. And I'll say another thing. Everyone's high and mighty on Seattle right now. And they played well. I will say that. But look at their last 3 games. They played Carolina when Bryce Young was 12-24 for 54 yards. Then they played a totally beaten up San Fran team twice. And I mean, last game, San Fran had some guys back, but it was over before it started.
You got to give the defense credit.
No, I do. But listen, they had a kickoff return for a touchdown at home. Place is going bananas. Then they turn it over on downs. And then the next series, they turned it, they had a fumble. So, it's 17-0 before the game was over before it started. So, like you mentioned, it's kind of a bye week. I just think it's a different animal. The Rams have been, the number one power rated team all year. They were the favorites throughout until they had to go on the road 3 times. And that's when it switched. I think if you go back 2 weeks and, like Mitch was saying, if they had won that game, they would have been the number one seed. They're at home. They're probably what? They're the favorite now. So I think I'm going to give the Rams one more shot at this because I mean, he can prove me wrong. He can win the Super Bowl, but I'll never trust Sam Darnold until he probably does that.
So that's basically the key to the handicap for you. It comes down to one guy.
Yeah, because if they're going to get a lot of pressure, there's some injuries on that Seattle line. That tackle didn't look too sharp last week. I don't trust him in the big moments. When things go bad, except for the time 5 weeks ago where he threw that pick 6, and then somehow they won the game. I still don't know how it happened.
It was beyond a miracle.
It's beyond a miracle. A 2-point conversion that shouldn't have counted. They got 3 2-point conversions. One of them that shouldn't have counted.
I forgot about the 2-point. We go to commercial
outrageous.
Break. Yeah, I forgot about that.
They come back. I'm like,
I picked the ball up. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I forget who was announcing that game. He's like, oh, that was such a sharp move. I'm like, he didn't even know that. He thought the play was over.
No
he was
clue.
Just picking it up.
It was Herbstreit and Michaels.
Oh, yeah. Herbstreit was saying it was such an intelligent, smart, heady play to pick the ball up, So I think, I don't know. I just like the fact, I know you were saying under. I like over in this game, too. I mean, the Rams defense hasn't been great. They've given up a lot of points the last few weeks. They didn't give up a lot of points last week, but that was due to the fact that Caleb Williams, for all the praise he got about the second half, he was awful in the first half, and he had 3 interceptions, throwing it to the worst places. So, I mean, Chicago should have put up more points, and they left a lot of points on the field. What did they have? 3 field goals they could have went for. They didn't. So the Rams defense is going to give up some points. I could see this game being another type of shootout. I'm not sure why the line moved down today. Maybe there's injuries I don't know about. Maybe Stafford is hurt. Maybe Donald's thing will flare up again. But I wouldn't want to be on the under in this game in the second half when things are going back and forth.
Well, you know what's going to happen? The Patriots are going to play Seattle, and something's going to happen to Darnold.
Oh, come on.
So you know what's
going to
happen.
Come on.
That's what's going to happen.
Come on. So all of a sudden, the Chargers, who are, they were great. They beat who? Like, I guess you can
come
say.
Come on.
Nobody said they were great.
You can say this.
Nope,
you do, and you do now. Say this. You do say this, which I kind of agree with. Who's good? Nobody, really.
Yeah. Other than,
the right. Rams are probably the highest power rated team for the majority of the year. Yep. Their defense is terrible. It's just not a good
game. They get no pressure on the quarterback.
Which they should.
I know. They've got dudes all over.
They have Verse and all these guys that are just these powerful guys that are supposed to be making all these plays, but they don't. And for some reason, their back end of the secondary is just not good. And you've seen it all year. I mean, the five games not in the playoffs, the last five games of the year, not counting Arizona, they gave up 31 twice to Carolina. I mean, they gave up 30. All the yards
special
they gave up to Seattle. Yep. I mean, they're kind of a leaky defense.
Would you like to recommend a this year? You had Texas Tech 300-1. Is there a Texas Tech out there that you could be looking at from next year, or anything you recommend in college hoops?
I was down at Hoover Dam underneath the underpass yesterday, and I didn't put anything in. I was just like, I could probably wait, but I would look for a team, obviously, in the Big 12 or the ACC, because that's where the big prices are, because one of those teams have to get in. So maybe you look at a Virginia Tech, 150-1.
Shop around. I got 350-1 yesterday.
So a Cal, you know, you got Sagapuletelli, who's stud quarterback. I liked how Cal played this year. They had some low level games, but they had some games where they shocked the world in some of them too. So I'm not sure in the Big 12, because Texas Tech's reloading, and you're not going to get 200-1 again like I had last year. But you know, we'll see. It's one of those ones where you got to look for the ACC or the Big 12, because the power conference, you know, SEC and Big 10, you know, those teams are not going to be more than 20-1. You know, the usual suspects. I would say maybe Virginia Tech. That's probably a good one. Or Cal or SMU maybe too. I know you liked SMU.
Yes. Yeah. They should be a juggernaut.
They're gonna spend money.
That's what Cignetti's talking about when he says it's a new world. Billionaires.
And they beat Miami.
Made it the year before.
I wasn't a big fan of Jennings. I think he's kind of erratic. I'm not sure. Is he back next year? I'm not sure if he's back or not.
You like Mensah if that goes through and he goes to Miami?
Oh, yeah, I'm a big Mensah fan. I feel like he can make all the throws. He's mobile. He reminds me, he's not as good as Jaden Daniels, but I think he's a hell of a player. You know, he had a couple high turnover games last year, but if he just won one more game, I would have had. You know, I had Duke at 1,000-1 last year, and they win the league. That was my prediction, and they don't even get in. So
yeah,
I had him for ACC too, so it worked out okay.
All right. There's the ticket.
I will say for college basketball, because last year I was trying to find some ones. I do like Florida, even though they're down, but you can get Florida still at 5-1 just to make the Final Four. And I heard you talking about Kansas. We'll see if Peterson can stay healthy. You can get them at 750 just to make the Final Four. I like BYU at 700 to make the Final Four.
They're 700 to make the Final Four?
Plus 700.
Ooh, mama. I'm going to have to take a slice of that.
So I have a bunch of future parlays already in, but I like the fact that you can play future parlays with just to make the Final Four. And hey, you might have guys, teams in different brackets. You might hit more than one of them.
Sure, you could.
You're not just hitting one.
Yep. Good point.
He's very active on X. If you'd like to follow him there, at Real Gage.
That's correct, Mitch. There Real Gage, go. The old dog. We still. Keep him in our thoughts, even though he's been gone for 3 years. But we still like him. He was a big, big lug. Everyone loved him.
Have a great weekend, man.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Thanks, Paulie.
There you go. Chris Massaro. We'll tell you how home dogs have done over the years. Teams with a rest advantage playing a third straight game on the road. And results for teams off an overtime game coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Pitch our best bets in pocket plays coming up in 15 minutes. Some numbers from over the years on championship weekend in the National Football League. Steve Mackinnon has a ton, VSiN.com. Also, Evan Abrams has a great job as well. Action Network. Home dogs, Paulie, of 4+ points. That's the number right now. DraftKings, if you're just tuning in right now, DK did dip down to 3.5 on the Patriots earlier today. But home dogs of 4+ points are 9-0 ATS over the last 50 years in the playoffs.
Yep.
Including the Panthers, who covered against the Rams in the wild card round.
Isn't that incredible? There's just some crazy stuff here. And I can't get past the indoor-outdoor thing, which tip of the cap to Evan Abrams. If an indoor team goes outdoors in a conference title game last 50 years, 0-15 straight up, 2-13 ATS.
How about that?
Wow. And I remember that as a Minnesota fan, that the Vikings kiss your ass goodbye. I think they were either favorite or a pick 'em when they played the Giants on the road. The game was over 5 minutes in. It was 14-0. I think like 41-0 Giants.
That was clockwork. Incredible. For a long stretch of time. Yeah,
the Kerry Collins team and the issues the Vikings always had on the road. But there's a lot of strong stuff like that. And going back on history, not to mention a big talking point on this show today has been what the Rams are trying to accomplish in three straight on the road, and also do it off an overtime game, and Seattle has the rest advantage. So it's a triple whammy for the Rams here.
Yeah, first of all, they're the only 0-2 ATS team in the postseason, yeah. Having covered, not covered at all, but won both their games, obviously. They are the first team in the Super Bowl era to lose ATS in both the wildcard round and divisional round, but advanced to the conference title game. The Broncos and the Rams are both off those overtime games last week. Since 2015, teams off in overtime facing a team that was not are winning only 43.9% of the games, outright 46% of the games ATS. This season, those teams went 10-18 straight up and 11-17 ATS. Specifically in the playoffs, when a team is off an overtime win and is playing a playoff game in the next round, they are 0-5 straight up and 1-4 ATS since 2015, mm-hmm. losing on average by 15.4 points per game. Not great, Bob.
No.
Then you factor in the rest disadvantage, like you said. Seahawks playing on a Saturday. Now the Rams playing on last Sunday.
Which also was a preseason game in the second half.
Yep.
And the thing was over.
Those teams on a rest disadvantage off an OT when their opponent is not in the playoffs. 1-8 straight up, 3-6 ATS, losing 6 in a row outright. The last win, the Chicago Bears over the Saints in 2006-2007. Mm-hmm.
More stuff against New England. 0-4 all-time in Denver. Biggest home dog in a conference title game since 1968. Only the Rams have pulled this off from a future standpoint. 150-1. New England's the 11th team at 80-1 or higher. Only four coaches have won the Super Bowl in their first season with the team. That's been done, but can Vrabel pull that off?
Mm-hmm.
Peyton, 5-0 career with a rest advantage in the playoffs. And he's done well with backup quarterbacks. We referenced the Dave Tooley deep dive earlier and the 8-1 run straight up with Hill and Bridgewater.
Drake May is a favorite of 3 points or more. 12-0 straight up, 10-2 ATS, and they have won those 10 games by 16.3 points per game. Also on the road.
Road Warriors too, yeah.
8-0 straight up, 7-1 ATS this year. The only undefeated road team straight up in the NFL. Second best ATS team, Seattle, was actually 8-1 against the spread on the road.
So the unknown, Mr. Stidham, and we'll see. And Chernoff was good. It was, I know you were waiting for it, but it's been unicorns, teddy bears, and ice cream here for the Stidham stuff about, oh, he's going to surprise you. Watch out. Seventh time a quarterback will have his first snap in the playoffs. Previous 6-1-5 straight up. It's the first time he'll throw his first pass of the season in a playoff game. You got to go. Staubach did it in 72, where it was his first start in a title game. And that's what Stidham's doing here. But this first, he's won one game and hasn't completed a pass in 3 years.
Well, again, maybe the guy's going to be fine. And I hope from just a viewing standpoint that it's a good game and the guy's not a total debacle right, like C.J. Stroud was last week. But for basically 98% of the stuff that I've heard all week long until today, with a couple of guys on this show and Andy Gresh yesterday, it's been nothing but
it's really
positivity here.
I mean, how much can the coaching matter, though, with the performance? Well, Belichick this, McDaniels that, Peyton this.
Mm-hmm.
We still got to go out there and do it.
Why is he in the starter?
And he's 1-3 straight up in his career.
That's my question. Why is he not a starting quarterback somewhere?
I will say this. I think he sleeps well at night Saturday because I think he's in line to make a lot of money if he goes out there and plays well. If he's able to win this game, and then, my God, if the unthinkable happens, he wins the Super Bowl. I didn't think 14-1 was crazy that they could still pull this off, knowing that maybe you could win a low-scoring game against Seattle, too, if that's your opponent. But, it's a fun discussion, though.
Now, again, the first guy I thought of once I saw the Knicks news going back to last weekend was Nick Foles and what he did late in the year. But I will remind people, he came in middle of December when Carson Wentz got hurt against the Rams. He actually came into that game against the Rams, but against the Giants, played a full game, threw for 237 yards, had 4 touchdowns. They beat the then Oakland Raiders 19-10. He threw for 163. He wasn't great. He only played a little bit against the Cowboys in the final week of the year because it was meaningless. But in the playoffs that year, the guy was like dynamite. Completed 77% of his passes against Atlanta, 246 yards, 8.2 yards per attempt. In the Vikings game at home, NFC title game, the guy threw for 352 and three scores, 79% completion, 11% or 11 yards per attempt. And in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, he crushed it, as you all know. Like Stidham, that's
not even. He'd already added success.
It's not even clear.
Chip
right?
Kelly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he had that year we threw 27 touchdowns, two INTs. He was in the league for a long time playing games. I mean, it's just.
Well, I do agree with Peyton, though. He's one of the top 32 quarterbacks. That I'll agree with. There was a lot of bad quarterbacks playing this year starting. I mean, look at the Jets situation. So.
Okay, well, then I'll answer.
I also agree. I hope we don't. I hope he's able to live up to it. We only have two games left. Three. I hope we don't get a blowout. Not to mention the ratings are going to be through the roof because of the weather and no one can go outside. How bad it is all over the United States.
Right.
But I would hope now that with down to the AFC title game, we don't get it. But that was unwatchable with C.J. Stroud. It was ridiculous and vomit-inducing with how bad he played. It wasn't football. It was like
you
can't make these kind of mistakes. It's ridiculous. So I hope he doesn't turn it over and he hangs in there and we get a competitive game and the nightcap should be phenomenal.
Is it possible he could be as bad as Stroud?
No way. No way. Can't see it.
God, I hope
no
not.
No way. I would think a veteran quarterback would know enough to just take a sack. And Peyton has to be drilling it in his head. Don't be the reason we lose. It's okay to punt. Because they're doing it to May every week. After what he's done, it's okay to punt. It's okay. May even said it to the reporter before the game on the sideline. It's okay to punt. It's okay to punt.
I think the biggest indictment of that whole game was that, or the whole situation, was that they never went to Davis Mills.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it was so obvious ridiculous. They had to do it, and they just never made the move. So I'll answer my own question then.
Totally.
Why is he a backup? I'll say because not all front offices get it right. And we don't have 32 good quarterbacks in the league, and maybe he should be starting somewhere. I mean, we'll find out again what he's going to look like in the biggest game of his career coming up in a couple of days. But
Denver also paid him a lot of money, too.
Yeah, but I would also say, like, how on earth was Russell Wilson a starting quarterback to begin the year and Jameis Winston was a third stringer on that same team? Make that one make sense.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Why did Fields get 2 for 40?
Another one.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly some of these guys, like Russell Wilson shouldn't even be in the league anymore. So the conversation of him starting a quarterback needs to be dead. But so they get it wrong a lot too. And I guess landing points where you're going to be, maybe this is going to work out for him because Sean Payton loves to throw the football. Again, that stat that, well, I have a bet coming up on Stidham with the passing game. Bo Nix led the league in passing attempts this year, and we saw it again last week against a team that was abysmal against the run, and they never even tried with Harvey or McLaughlin. It's like, nope, don't care. I know we can run against them if we tried, but I like to pass the ball. It's who I am, and I have an ego, so let's go have some fun today. And I pointed out the other day, don't forget, he's also the same coach to begin a second half in a Super Bowl. Started that half with an onside kick,
it. Yeah, he's got onions.
Oh, absolutely he does.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised. We saw the fat man touchdown last week. By the way, the Bills pulled off a hook and ladder against them. I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like that out of Sean Payton.
Well, I know he can't come in all gloomy Gus and whatever, but as soon as he announced it, he was just, Stidham will be great. Stidham will be fine.
He's ready to go.
I know. Trust me, we're okay.
Okie dokie, Sean.
Yeah, all right.
We will.
I'm sure he'd love to boast and say, I told you so afterwards. And he will. No doubt about it. That'd be wild. But I'm with you that he's going to sling it and keep throwing the ball and get a stubborn coach that doesn't like to run and get away from the run.
Right,
case in point last week.
How many bets do you have for the weekend?
At that. 10, I think.
Okay.
With the various props and the stuff, a lot of it's with the Caesars. Quarter stuff, which is very good.
Yeah, we'll run those down coming up. We'll recap last night's bets. Get into the weekend as well with our in-pocket plays here. And follow the money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Children on these games! was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country.
All right. McJesus let us down, or it would have been a clean sweep. The 13 in a row at home was a loser as the Oilers got blasted by the Penguins. Marshall had a huge game as the Mavs won. He went flying over his points total. Great job by Dallas. Ottawa, Nashville, goal in the first 10 winner, and the Blazers took out the Heat no problem. Bad spot for Miami, who had played their fourth game in 6 days, and Portland was well rested.
Good call, man.
To the pending Cooper Kupp over receiving yards, biting the hand that once fed him. 6 for 62 so far in the first two meetings, and he had the most yards in the game last week against the Niners. Henry over receiving. Patriots, first half money line and first half spread, 17-1-1 on the money line, 16-3 ATS run. They've won 15 of 16. They've been awesome in the first half. Also a 15-0-1 run on the money line first half as well. These are available at Caesars and Will Hill. Click on the game, click on game specials, then you see player specials. That's in a second. Puka, 5 yards rushing in the game. They let him get the ball on the end around or throw it behind the line of scrimmage. Field goal each quarter, 4-1. Both teams to make a 33-yard field goal in the NFC title game. Got ahead of myself. Kyren Williams, 5 yards rushing each quarter, 25 yards rushing each half is plus 190. Some of this stuff is great. There's over 200 different ways to bet every conference title game. Just for example, what they have with the Puka stuff. A catch each quarter, $1.05, which is funny because I bet it in the Thursday night game when he had, I think, 12 for 220. He didn't have a catch in the second quarter. You got to be bleeping me. 10 yards each quarter, 3-1. 2 catches each quarter, plus 750. 20 yards each quarter, 12-1. 5 yards each quarter, plus 140. 50 yards each half, plus 360. All kinds of stuff like that with all the high-profile players. Good luck. Stidham, most passing yards, plus 650 for the weekend.
All right, the next time that you have a bad night, remember, I was 0 for 5 betting props in the same game all last night.
What happened? It's high scoring.
Other guy scored. First of all, I have to look at this now. Steve Kerr played 12 guys last night, and he played a lot of other fringe guys a lot of minutes.
He's doing this again
so
now?
So that'll factor in now moving forward. But look, Klay Thompson played, I think, 23 minutes, 2 of 6 from 3. The attempts weren't there. The makes weren't there. Kuminga, I think, was going to cash. He got hurt 9 minutes into the game. And then Buddy Hield really didn't even play that much last night as a result. So 0 for 5 with the NBA props last night. That was a bitter pill to swallow and a bad result for the old bankroll. No bueno. Trying to pick up the pieces for today. Pending, R.J. Harvey, under 43.5 rushing yards, yep, plus 105. But J.K. Dobbins has been ruled out. Not going to play. I actually hope Harvey's number goes up. I want to keep betting it under. I don't think he's going to have a day on the ground. Yep. New bets.
Houston running backs, 18 for 31. Charger running backs, 12 for 30.
Yep. So it's pretty light for me right now. I think I'll have more by the Sunday morning show when it rolls around, the tailgate show. The reason why is because I am heavily invested in Rams futures, and I need to decide what I'm going to do, if I'm going to hedge it all on Seattle or not, which I have not done. I have plenty of time to do that yet, almost 48 hours. We'll see. I'll probably talk about that a little bit more on Sunday morning, but the bets I do have in pocket, Broncos, the over, 42.5, everything that's been said in the last 90 minutes on this show, I completely agree with. Broncos defense, Fugazi. And I think the Patriots defense, as a result of who they played the last couple of weeks, as Adam Chernoff was so eloquently pointing out in the previous hour, those results were, I think, a little jaded based on the Chargers offensive line and CJ Stroud having one of the worst games I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
So we'll go over there, but also Patriots team total over. May's been humming. They're awesome on the road. And the Broncos defense, other than a pass rush, I don't think it's very good. They've been getting lit up like crazy here down the stretch. And Jared Stidham over 32.5 pass attempts minus 112 available still as we speak. And Bo Nix went over that number a lot. And Sean Payton came out right away and said, I'm going to let him rip. He's going to. So you notice this. This is pizza money.
Yeah.
Stidham and May to have 25 plus completions at 28-1.
That's at Will Hill. Great number compared to other spots.
Yep. So I put a little pizza change on that bad boy.
Good. Najee Marshall, 8-1 overrun, his points prop as well. Going back, Jonathan Davis likes the Vegas-Toronto first period over coming up. Mariners return. Getting ready for game 60 with a big deal to match. Save $60 off the VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code FTM. Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber and bet smarter all year long. Every best bet, every host, every guest. The DK and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, all the betting guides, and the picks for the Super Bowl and upcoming madness. VSiN.com/subscribe, code FTM. Save $60 off the VSiN Pro annual subscription. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, hot shot. Well, this is, you know, I got a couple tweets and texts today about, don't you miss the Midwest? Don't you? No. Couldn't wait to get out.
Paulie.
20 below. You can have it. And I lost my mind 1 year. I was, I think, a junior in college, and I was shoveling in April or May, something like that. I said, this is it. I mean, this is just
done.
Absurd.
You can only put up with so much.
Yeah, you can only put up with so much.
Who wants to have winter snow, ice, cold, wind for 6-7 months out of the year? Not this guy. Where I'm from, my brother told me that tomorrow with the wind chill, probably going to touch minus 50.
Okay. Funny that you bring that up. I was a senior in high school, and the governor of Minnesota canceled school the whole week. I think it was 70 below wind chill all week.
Oh, I remember those
days. And that's when my mom came out and did the boiling water trick.
And threw it right in your sister's face?
Instead of... he deserved it. Instead, you boil the hot water, and you're supposed to throw it up in the air, and it evaporates. It won't hit the ground. It evaporates. But she threw it sideways and scalded her.
God almighty.
I know.
She's got her, oh, the dysfunction in the Howard.
She threw it sideways. Now, what is this that you guys sent in? What's the spaghetti thing?
No, I saw this.
What's the pasta thing? I've never heard of this.
Neither have I, but this is...
You make pasta, you go out, and the fork will freeze.
So this is from Jennifer. This is already, let's see here, 2.4, almost 3,000 retweets already. The old pasta trick, 21 below, wind chill minus 45 this morning.
Retweet it.
She put a fork like you do with the spaghetti.
Yeah, like you're eating it.
And it pulls it up like this.
Yeah.
And then let's go, and it's stuck... I don't know if you can see this or not. It's probably, it's not going to, it's absolutely bananas. I'll retweet this at Mitch Moss Radio here. How? I've never heard of such a thing.
No, I didn't either. Knew about the hot water, boiling water. Didn't know about the pasta
that's
trail.
That's how cold it is.
I saw right in my face how it backfired.
Well, you sent over a great tweet, though, last night. I'm trying to find it right now from the person who's like,
So also going back about back in my day, number one, when you were living in the dorms in college, you would get annihilated because you knew school was going to be canceled. Mm-hmm. So you'd get after it with drinking, and you had to wake up yourself, your parents. You'd either have to listen to the radio or turn on the TV on the news with the scroll on the bottom line to find out if your school was canceled.
That's right. Think about that. No, like, internet back then, nothing. That's how you had to either listen to the radio or you had to watch for the scroll. This is a great tweet from Brent Bloom. Canceling school at 5 p.m. the night before because of winter weather takes away an elite childhood morning experience. That unexpected extra morning sleep / sports center time after senior school district on the ticker was an all-timer. Oh, my God. It brings me back to when I was 13 years old.
Absolutely. Well said. Yep.
Are they going to call us? Come on, everybody else in the surrounding area. Where's Fall Creek? Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And you go play snow football.
In 1988, I was living in Superior, Wisconsin.
Oh, God.
And
what
we actually
love that area.
No dice, no bueno. Armpit. We drove to school. My mom was dropping us off, and you're like, "Well, where is everybody?" We didn't get the memo. It was you know, ice, whatever.
Okay.
Now, and school was canceled, but we were the last people to know. Now that was an interesting feeling. It was like, my God, I had no idea.
No.
All right, turn the car around. I'm going back to bed.
I'll tie it in with this. I saw a video that popped across my Instagram feed last night. It was a concert of Tiësto. I think he's like in Dubai. The DJ.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for society, like we have no chance. There must have been 200 people around him, right? Trying to cut in front of everybody was on their phone going like this, trying to get as close as possible. They weren't taking in the experience. And that's happened to me when I'm at concerts. I'm like, get off your phone, watch the show. What are we doing here?
They're just trying to film the concert.
Every single person surrounding him was on their phone trying to get as close as possible to film it.
Oh,
like, how sad is that? This is a great tweet from, I bring it up because how about this? Colin Dunlap.
Yeah.
Peak life. When you knew a gigantic snowstorm was coming in college and school was going to be closed, to your point, you'd sit around with your boys, drink 7 million beers, and then you did really dumb stuff. And it was before social media, not for likes. amazing. And no phones, no social media, none of like, you actually had fun with your friends. Yes, we sound like we're 100 years old. I don't care. Those days, you can't even, come on. It's no contest. Those days were better than today. Come on. Grumpy old men here.
Yeah, no cell phone. You said, meet me at 7 o'clock, and goddammit, you were there.